Hello, and welcome to the Real Estate Marketing Masters Mix podcast, where each episode we share actionable strategies for amping up your real estate marketing game. And now, here's your host, Dave Cole.
And we welcome you into this edition. I'm Dave Cole, and we're joined, as always, by Scott Winteroth. And how you doing, Scott?
Dave, how are you? Good to be back and ready to share some great tips. So what's going on this week, Dave? What's going on in Real Estate Marketing Masters Mix world?
All right. Yeah, a lot of things. And so our topic for today is size matters. Ooh. And it's not always, besides the size of the listing and size of the commission, that's kind of obvious. But we want to talk about the size of the property. So one of the things that's going on, and we will post one of the articles to this point, it's going on in Seattle, Portland, and Boston are three of the bigger cities where this is happening, and it's probably going to be coming up in some of the different, especially large cities, but not restricted to, as the word of this kind of gets out, and that is that a lot of, I don't want to say a lot, but some landlords are going with renting out or even selling smaller apartments or condos. And there's a number of reasons. One, it may be for convenience, it may be for lack of space, or it may be as a way to fight rent control. Now, I know not all of our followers work with investors or investment properties as much, but here's something to be aware of. There are restrictions in certain cities, or, well, that's controversial, but there are rent control ordinances, regulations in many of the big cities. New York City is one. They're talking about it in Chicago, the area that we're from. There are now proposals out, and there have been meetings and discussions, and you have the politicians that want it. San Francisco is another one where, even as expensive as real estate is, there is some form of rent control that is there. And so what happens when there's rent control, the argument, the feeling on the part of investors is there's less incentive for investors because they can only charge so much. So they feel like it's not like they can go and put in, you know, new bathrooms or new sinks or fix it up to make it a better property when they can still only charge the same rent. So that's part of the concern. Thus, it becomes less of a long-term investment possibility. There is the other side of the coin for investors saying they might as well hold on to it because by rent control, the people that have these apartments for lower than the market rate are less likely to move, so they're going to have a full occupancy more than some of the other landlords that can raise the rent and do these improvements. But what some of the owners are doing, and it's in this article about a group kind of doing this in Seattle, unofficially, they'll take a larger or even an average size apartment or condo or unit, basically put a wall in and split it into two what they call micro apartments. So it's just that type of example. And of course there are, and you may have seen you as in our audience on some of the TV shows, or maybe there's a community near you. There are tiny houses. There are actually builders that do this where people may be living in a, you know, a 500 square foot area. That's basically one room other than the bathroom. It may even not, may or may not have a separate bedroom. Sometimes it's the basically like you open a closet and out comes the bed and it fits out onto the floor. So there's a lot of this type of thing that's going on and it's growing. So agents need to be aware of that. That's one aspect of it. And a way it's more than just affordable housing. And our purpose in terms of discussing this is because that's one avenue where size matters, but also it's things in your marketing that some of you, I'm sure, are doing the 3 and 4 bedroom ranch house in the suburbs with the big yard and the garden and the landscaping and all that, while others may be doing the downtown condos, which are smaller, but there's plenty of reasons for the right people to live in both. The ability to be near work, to not own a car in some of the bigger cities. So these are things that that we want to talk about. And also, Scott, from your point of view, as far as the social media and the websites and the marketing of that, that it's also important for agents to be aware of the size of the typical property or most properties that they're marketing in terms of their scheme and things that they can promote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think that, there's opportunity. You know, I think when no matter how you look at it, there's opportunity. It could be, I think the idea of promoting it as a rent control could be a good thing. Some people might want that. The idea that it is rent controlled, and whether it's the size is big or small, that is just a way of getting it out there. And social media could obviously be one way of getting the word out. So yeah, I think there's lots of opportunity. It's just a matter of how you're gonna get it out there.
Right. So again, in looking at it, when there is the bigger home where it's more of the property as well as the home, that's one way to do it. And so even in terms, again, of your overall marketing, I know one of the examples is, and granted this is apartments, but a landlord that I know who owns several apartment buildings in Chicago, and what happens is she does not allow pets, as a lot of individual or smaller investors will not, because of the wear and tear it can add to an apartment or even to a, you know, any type of rental or a house or that type of thing. However, she came upon a situation where she took over a 4-unit building that was vacant and rehabbed it and realized that there was no building or none of the units within about a 3-block area that accepted pets, especially large dogs. This particular property happened to have a yard, and so what she did was she allowed for big dog or owners of big dogs to be able to move into the unit. It filled quickly, and so because of the yard and everybody, the four all having fairly large sized dogs, it lucked out from the dogs that they all get along. And so what she has is the families looking out for each other's dogs. They can let them out in the yard. Everybody's friendly. Everybody knows each other. And because of that, her feeling is that there's nowhere else they could go within a 3 or 4 block radius. And that affects, you know, schools and shopping, and they're there for a reason. And she figures that, you know, her words to me were, they'll never leave because they won't be able to necessarily recreate or find that type of community in the future. Now, that's an owner that's renting, but from the standpoint of being an agent, these are things to keep in mind, that a community may have, it may be near a dog park, there may be other dog owners on the block in the area. And those are things, and I know, Scott, you and I talk about this a lot, those are things that it doesn't say that on the MLS. And this is part of doing your research, and properties are not necessarily marketed that way. I don't know that in your, you know, your MLS description, you see, oh, there's 3 other, you know, large sized dogs on the block. Or I know that's very specific. You'd rather point out something about the living room or the patio than that. But that could be an important point to get somebody to want to see your property. And Scott, that's where social media and the marketing of the property comes together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, you know, maybe what I was trying to get at earlier is that a lot of these micro apartments, a lot of this stuff is trending, no matter, you know, whether it's in the news, whether it's on social media. So people are looking for this type of information, and just being able to create content or create marketing materials around either tiny homes or small micro apartments or anything like that is popular. And, you know, you could easily create, you know, maybe find an influencer out there who blogs about tiny homes or blogs about micro apartments, and then share your listings with that person, because you might find the needle in the haystack, or you might get some direct traffic to your website or to your social media that will help sell these particular places, right, or these particular events. I know also what's popular too, or what I've seen in some of the blogs, and especially tech blogs, and especially like in the San Francisco, Silicon Valley area, is not just micro apartments, but like where you just rent a, you know, they like collaborative rooms where they rent out like an entire building, and then they sell like literally a bed, or they, you know, they rent a bed. So there's all kinds of sort of crazy housing opportunities opportunities right now that I think are out there. And it's just a matter of watching and seeing what people want online and going and you know, working that towards your market. If that's your market, you want to sell small micro homes, and obviously there's lots of branding opportunities that you could do with that, right? So interesting place to be. We'll see how it goes, you know. So
yeah, that we will. And of course, on the other end, where there's the smaller properties, again, it doesn't have to be a micro apartment for this purpose. Very few, if any, agents are involved with renting micro apartments for a number of reasons. However, there are some very small properties. And I mean, yeah, we look at San Francisco and New York, but also in some of the other cities where if you want to be right downtown, where maybe you can walk to work, you're right by the entrance to the train station. There's even some I know in San Jose that there are actually condo buildings going up above the Whole Foods or those type of grocery stores, so that putting in separate interior entrances so that you can actually go down the elevator, go into a Whole Foods or go into the dry cleaners or whatever stores are in that building, and you can do all this without leaving your building, and they're right down the block from the train station, the bus stop, and restaurants, and there's even an entertainment venue right nearby in this one particular building. So granted, that's, you know, more rare than common, but still, as far as your thinking goes, and in fact, in New York City, this sounds like an I've got a guy story, it's not. But I do have a friend that's got what's called a co-op in New York City, especially in Manhattan, which is, it's kind of like along the lines of being a condo where he technically owns the apartment, but because of zoning restrictions, it's still considered to be an apartment, so they call it a co-op. It's kind of a different name for it, and it's you could kind of make, there's the almost like the good news and the bad news, which, not that there's anything bad about it, it's just it's small. So, and having been to his place, it's to the point where by folding out a double bed, or I guess a king size bed, there's basically no room in the bedroom. So it's almost like there's room to walk in and get into the bed and have a little nightstand, and that's about it. And so what he and his wife, they actually bought a larger couch, a pull-out couch, and basically sleep in the living room and use the bedroom for almost like for storage and for other things because the apartment is so small. Mm-hmm. However, you'd think, well, why would somebody do that? And the answer is that this is in Greenwich Village. They are like a quarter of a block away from one of the primary streets. So they've got the bus. It's about two blocks from the subway. They've got all the stores. Everything's right there, all the restaurants, all the entertainment, and they love it there. And so it's like, you know, I mean, part of our conversation is, oh, where's your car? And he actually keeps it at some other property that he has over in New Jersey. And it's like, hey, I think I'll go and, you know, I'll get the car and we'll go somewhere today. I mean, but they just happen to love it. And because, believe me, it's costly as far as the rent, but basically they are renting, or in this case, owning the lifestyle rather than the property. So there's probably no room for a kitten in that as far as pets or any of the other things. But that's the point of this session, Scott, is to be able to just point out that it's not that obvious that you need to take, or we suggest that you take, different approaches in marketing from one extreme to the other. So in something like that, a situation like in New York City, and again, we're talking big cities, but there are situations like this, downtowns, even in smaller cities, or it's sometimes the location, location, location versus the size of the property. So these are things to keep in mind. So in a case like my friends in Manhattan, you would not be emphasizing the schools because this is not somewhere where there's even room for kids to live and to play. You might be emphasizing something about transportation, a restaurant, an entertainment venue, how you can take the bus to Madison Square Garden or to some type of, you know, venue that's in the area. And that those are important things to point out. You want to be able to steer your marketing toward the people that potential buyers or even sellers in your marketing that would jump on that and say, hey, that's me. That's what we're all about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, think in New York City, if you have a little bit more square feet than most apartments, you're doing pretty good. So that's how I would market that. But yeah. And also, I mean, going back to the whole like micro apartments or like sort of like shared living spaces, I mean, you would think those would be a really great farm opportunity as well, because people kind of move into those. Sometimes they move into those little units temporarily. And then once their startup makes it big time or whatever, or they need to relocate to a different part of town or whatever, then you could use that as an opportunity to, you got them in there, and then let's go and get them to the next level. They're getting out of the micro home or getting out of the tiny home into the next phase of their life. So yeah, lots of opportunities to market yourself.
Yeah, and actually picking up on that point, Scott, is that in terms of you may have the young professional couple kind of starting out and doing the micro apartment to be in that location they are because of work or a family situation or whatever the reason. Now, as a savvy agent, the type that would be enjoying our podcast and gaining from it each time, is that to keep in mind that, and I hear this from, to me, way too many agents, oh, rentals, it's not worth the time and all that. And I say, yes, it is, because when you put somebody in a rental, and I don't mean the, you know, $300 apartment up above the barber shop, I mean where it's into an apartment development or it is more of an upscale rental, to me, one of the reasons that you as an agent should take that on is because now you've got a client. Now look at the advantage. So somebody takes a 6-month or a 1-year lease, and you help them set that up. Yeah, you'll get something for your time as a commission. But in doing so and helping to process their application and get them in there, you as the agent are learning about their financial situation and their goals. There's a reason they want that particular apartment. It may be for schools. It may be for work. It may be for price. It may be for all of those things. It may be for reasons that, you know, we haven't thought of yet. So now you basically know their motivation and you know when their lease is up.
Exactly.
So you're sitting there at the end of January knowing that, hey, you know, Bill and Mary's lease on that 2-bedroom on, you know, just near downtown is up June 1st and they're paying $1,200 a month. You have time, and Bill and Mary don't have to know about it. You have time to see what they could buy. Maybe they could get something with the same similar amenities. That's a house for $1,150 a month or even the same amount. And now they're gaining the equity and you've got the way to get them into a house or a condo or something where they're owners. And that leads to the bigger commission because you don't have to go through the, hey, are you thinking about selling sometime in the next 10 years? Or are you thinking of doing this? Or who are you? Or here's what I've done. You've already worked with them. They've already worked with you. You have the opening to say, hey, you know what? For June 1st, let's do this. For $50 a month less, for the same amount, hey, for $25 more, you could own. You could be writing off the mortgage on your taxes. You could be doing this, that, and the other, and you've got the chance to do that, that you're looking for them. Or, of course, you can, you know, sign another lease, but here are your advantages. Now, other agents wouldn't know that, wouldn't have that in with this person. So my response is, if you're in real estate, you're doing this in the long haul, then this is a way to go. You could have clients and have it on your calendar. And Scott, you can pick up on this for advanced planning and have your social media calendar, your planning, where you're knowing that, hey, I maybe, you know, you get big into this and you've got 10 of your clients that are up for a new place June 1st and 5 of them July 1st or whatever the case might be. Again, it's not only the specific research that I'm talking about, but this could be a campaign as you have rental clients, and I'm sure could also be done to attract rental clients.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think that was one of the things that some of the newsletters I'm helping clients with in terms of putting out their weekly newsletter with listings. And it was like, should we put rentals or not in this in their weekly global newsletter that just goes to their entire database? And at first I'm like, nah, I don't really want to mess with adding more things to it. And rentals are sort of like on the bottom of the totem pole for the way that some agents look at listings. But at the same time, there's people who aren't, who maybe are in your global database, who are just looking for a rental, you know, and like, just like you said, it's a way to get them, a way to start a conversation. You never know, you could turn them into a buyer. And ultimately, there's a lot of people out there in terms of global marketing in general. You kind of have to look at the lifetime value of a client, and, you know, you might get them in on a rental, but then they could turn into a sale. And just, you know, you have a lot more data on them. You, like you said, you know when they're going to potentially be their leases up, you know what they're looking for, and you can leverage that opportunity to market them in different ways, personalize that marketing. So yeah. All right, Dave, what do you think? We'll wrap this up.
Yeah, we sure can. We can let our audience get out there and start planning, because I think we've established that size matters. So yeah. That will do it for this edition. Scott, thank you for your great input. I'm Dave Cole, and we will catch you next time. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for listening to the Real Estate Marketing Masters Mix podcast with Dave Cole. Be sure to visit our website at davecole.com for more episodes with actionable strategies and to subscribe to future episodes. Please consider leaving a 5-star review and sharing this podcast with someone who would benefit from this content. Thank you, and see you next episode.